Take it to the top. To the top. Now the bottom of the top. Top Talent.
Welcome to Top Talent. This is my podcast, and trying to make this as real as possible. I think you can hear the motor running in the background. I am on my way right now. For you locals from the capital region, I am on Route 7. It is, let me check my watch. It is the 10th of February, 2020. I am driving right now to an iconic news station in the capital region, News Channel 13. I am on my way to interview the interviewer, and I'm nervous, which is good. Nervous is good. I am getting ready to interview the iconic, I like using the word iconic a lot, Benita Zahn. Benita Zahn from News Channel 13. I am on the way there. I don't know where they're setting me up. I hope they're not setting me up like right behind the news desk, because that'll make me like triply nervous. But I thought I would interview her on her own turf and try to get some insight into what it's like being a newscaster and doing it for as long as she's done it. And I have a little surprise for her, a little musical surprise. I don't think she knows about it yet, although I did put it on Facebook, so we'll see whether she reads my Facebook page. It's kind of a test to see whether she does that or not. On my way now, and I will check in when I open the front door and enter News Channel 13. Oh boy, oh boy. I'm entering News Channel 13 studios now, and my knees are clanging together. All right.
You got me?
I got you.
Okay.
Here we go. I am here in beautiful News Channel 13 studios with the iconic, the legendary Benita Zahn. I'm so excited. I'm nervous in a good way.
Oh, Richie, come on. You know how far back we go to my first hair color.
I know. Oh, we're getting to that. We are getting to that. I know your hair colorist.
Do you really?
Yes.
Which one? There's so many.
Up. That's
okay.
Coming up. I need hair coloring.
Nah, you look great.
So, Benita, I wanted to start out by asking you, because you are a legendary interviewer. I'm interviewing the interviewer, which makes me a little nervous. I never know what the first question should be.
No, I don't think there is a right or wrong first question. I usually look for something that's a bit of an icebreaker.
Good.
And we just go from there. It's a schmooze. It's not an interview.
That's right. Being that it's a podcast.
Right. So, I think in general, it's always a schmooze, unless, you know, you're interviewing somebody, it's a newsmaker, and there's something specific you have to get to, and you know they don't want to talk about it.
Exactly. So this isn't hard-hitting journalism by any means, no. But if Benita Zahn was going to ask the first question of Benita Zahn, because I need a first question.
I have no idea.
Really?
Absolutely not.
No
and
idea.
Besides which, dude, this is your gig.
I wanted to steal your first question because I know how I would start.
Well, go right ahead.
See, I always think musically.
Okay.
Now, I looked at all of your accomplishments, and they are so many. I tried to narrow it down somehow, and I decided to do it through song.
Great.
So,
because, you know, I have a song for everything.
You do?
Yes.
I know. We're going to get to your acting and your singing. But this is my song for you. And I also have a song that introduced my own podcast. So this song, now introducing a song. So here's my podcast.
Take it to the top. To the top. Not the bottom, but the top. Top Talent.
So that's my jingle. Okay.
To the top. Okay.
Right. It's to the top. Top Talent. And now here is your song.
She's been a doctor, an actor, a runner, an anchor for Channel 13. And right now I will mention she's covered conventions.
Must drink lots of caffeine.
Damn right.
Her mantle at home, it's a total disgrace. Because, oh my lord, it's filled with awards all over the place. Benita, we need ya. That's all I can say. We'd love to see your calendar. You must work night and day. She does a podcast in her spare time.
Do I?
And I'll bet you $50. It gets lots more hits than mine.
She's the Emmy winner. An Emmy winner.
There we go.
You have so not lost your touch. You're wonderful.
Well, I had a good subject to, you know, write about.
Uh-huh.
Your bio that is on the website there, on the News Channel 13 website, is incredible. I could go through this.
You do know that I don't see myself like that at all.
So you kind of step out as yourself. You're Benita the person, or Benita.
You know, I just see the list. I've got that. A lot of it is a female thing. And I know that women are getting better about this. And I teach this, but it's about my undone, not my done list.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm getting better at that.
But you've got to be proud of everything from a very local award to these national awards.
Yes, I am.
I mean, you were named one of the 100 women of the century. You can't get much better than that one.
That was pretty good. I was an incredible company.
That's
it really
incredible.
Was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought this was the Albany County Regional Chamber.
Chamber, yes.
Right? You've won Emmy. You won, what, two Emmy Awards?
One Emmy.
Make it two.
Well, maybe this year we'll see. But I felt like the Susan Lucci of the Emmys for a while.
Right,
I think I'd had either 7 or 9 nominations before I finally won. And winning this year, if you have a moment, I'll tell you the fun story about it.
A moment? I got an hour and a half.
So I'm backstage. I didn't get to go to the Emmys this year. I was nominated. Jerry Gretzinger, my 4 p.m. co-anchor, was nominated. And it was the same date as a show I was in at Capitol Rep, Shakespeare in Love. And my husband's nephew was getting married. So I had 3 things the same day.
Oh, jeez.
You know what won? Shakespeare in Love.
Right.
I was
going
to be on stage.
Well,
and I'm backstage, and I had a lot going on in my life at this point. And I got the cell phone, and I was on stage at the beginning, then had a long break. And I'm in the break, and I was playing Rummy with the woman who played the queen. We did this every night backstage. And I've got the cell phone, and I see that Jerry won. His category came up early, and that's great.
Yeah.
So I look at the phone. I look at the phone again. I put it down because a watched phone never, you know, never get which one.
Of course.
And then it buzzes. I don't even know how much longer, and I look at it, and it's Jerry's wife says, "You won." I drop the phone and I burst into tears. I am sobbing. Now, understand, I played a man and a barmaid on and off. So my character as a man wore a mustache. It was taped on. And I'm gone. And the girls, you know, in the dressing room with them, everybody's so happy. And David Gerard, who's a wonderful local performer, is out in the green room, taps on the door. He goes, "You're crying because you're happy. You won the Emmy? You won the Emmy?" I'm like, "Yes, I won it." Now, everybody knows. Everybody's been crying. Now we get called. I've got like 3 minutes. We got to go up to the stage shop.
Right.
But I have, the point of this is I'd been like so much sobbing, my mustache doesn't want to stay on. So we're standing at the rail and we have these two numbers to sing. And I just strike a pose, if you will imagine me with putting one finger across the top of my lip, you know, to make like, yes, aren't I cool? But really, I'm holding on to my mustache.
That's hysterical.
That's how I found out I'd won the Emmy. It was wonderful. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Being that your whole career involves a visual medium.
And pardon the coughing. I've got the end of the newsroom crud. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Being a health reporter, that's
it's
not,
so embarrassing. That's not, but one of my coworkers should have gone home 2 days earlier. We kept telling her, "Go home." She was like Typhoid Mary, made a load of us sick.
I got to make these microphones a little farther away from each other.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Is that how you get contact? Is that how you get a cold?
No, actually, if you touch and then it's called inoculate yourself. So if I'm, and I'm not coughing onto my hand, and I'm really practicing best procedures.
Right.
But so if I, let's just say I was on my hand,
right.
And then I handle the microphone, and then you touch the microphone, and then you rub your eye.
Right.
You've now have the potential to have transmitted that virus.
How long
would
that last? Like if I go to put this stuff away later,
I'm not touching anything. I'm being good, Richie.
And you have the hand sanitizer.
That's right. And I wash, and I'm not coughing in my hand.
But going back to the question of being a visual medium, in my case, I was in an audio medium where nobody ever saw us. So if I had something going on in my personal life, nobody knew as long as your voice was up.
Right.
How do you do that? How do you keep things separate? You have something wrong in your personal
life. It's
not
your problem. The audience, it's not your problem. So I can't allow that out. You put on the makeup. Everything
that's
has
a
song.
Right.
So from La Cage aux Folles, I put a little more mascara on.
That's right.
And really,
and you do it.
But it's not your problem. You tune in the news every night for professional delivery. And that's what I'm paid to do. And that's why you watch me. You know, in a sense, you vote for me if you're a viewer.
True.
Every day, you trust what I'm going to say.
That's right.
So you got to bring it.
Yeah,
I could be a mess a half hour before, a mess a half hour after, but not in the time I'm on the air.
Well, that leads to another question. You're also an actor.
Mm-hmm.
So is there acting in newscasting?
I don't know what you mean by that. I know everybody wants to cheapen what we do.
No, I don't mean
to cheapen. And they do, and especially in this era. You know, everybody wants to make it fake, and it's not real. No, it's about being attentive to the words and the story and being able to deliver it in the most clear and concise way. So I wouldn't call that acting. I think if you're a good manager, you should be sharing with your staff in the clearest and most concise way.
But what happens if it's a story you don't care about?
It's not...
Or a political view that you don't have.
It's not germane.
No? Really?
It's not germane. I've had people on both sides of the aisle say, you know what, if you knew my side, you'd love us, kind of a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
From both sides.
From
so
both
I'm doing
sides.
A pretty good job.
Yeah. No, well, you've obviously got your act down. You've been doing it for so long. Let's see here. We got so many questions. I'm trying to intermingle the questions that I have with questions on Facebook because you may have
seen
that.
See, you're doing great.
Well,
right.
I'm trying here. You are a DPS.
Yes, it's a Doctorate of Professional Studies. And the concentration is bioethics. I was in the first graduating class at Albany Medical College with that. And I think personally, and I think I'd have some support from my classmates, they rushed to get the doctorate approved. So the state decided to give a DPS. It's sort of like, you know, an ED or Psych D.
Okay.
You know, those types. It's not a PhD. A PhD is a research doctorate.
Gotcha.
This is a, as it says, a professional. It's a practical doctorate.
But don't minimize it.
Oh, no, not at all.
No.
People don't understand. But just say if you was here, like Psych D, the doctorate that many educators get, it's in that vein.
Okay.
But trust me, I did the work.
It's still great. And Mimi Grandjean and I asked the same questions. You were on the air at the time, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you have time to do that?
Personally? I joke. I say I was a muggle by day and a wizard by night.
Wow.
And I really did. I had to be very judicious. I had to be very careful with my time. So I'd work all day. And sometimes I did classwork in the morning. And understand, I did this as an online program, both the master's and the doctorate. And you did have to, I took a week off. There was a live component. I'd spend a week at the med center. And while I was working on my thesis, I spent an overnight at the med center in the emergency department. But you just have to really craft your time. Mm-hmm. There's no time to, you know, how you say, fart around.
That's right.
Right?
I don't believe that.
Yeah, I didn't think so. But it's a health word. But, you know, reading for fun pretty much went by the boards.
Yeah.
But I would have dinner, and by 8 o'clock at night, I was at the computer, and I was going to bed at midnight. And then back up, and you just had to get it done. So that's how I did it. You know, we have a lot of time we fritter away in our lives.
Right.
How much time do you spend reading Facebook?
True.
Yeah, how many dog pictures can you look at? And I'm guilty of posting dog pictures.
And we've seen all your dog pictures, really.
And all the shoes he chews.
It's getting ridiculous. Now, another tactic that an interviewer would use would be to go in chronological order. So I've never really asked you where you were born and all those boring questions. But I am interested in that. Like, did you have a TV life before Channel 13 in other markets?
Sure.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Well,
I've only known you from here.
Right.
Yeah.
But I worked at Cablevision on Long Island.
Really?
When I first got out of school, before it became the behemoth that it did finally become. I knew then that I'd have to get out of cable and always thought that I'd go back to it. I could foresee that cable was going to become a major player. But I stayed, and ultimately I stayed on the commercial side.
So where were you in Long Island? Because I'm from Long Island.
Oh, I grew up in Jericho.
I grew up in Matatuck.
Oh.
We never talked about this.
Darling.
Or maybe we did a long time
ago. No, maybe
a
long time
ago. I was born out there.
Really? No, I was born in Brooklyn. My folks had a mixed marriage. Mom was from Brooklyn and Dad was from the Bronx. And if you know anything about that, it's like the Hatfields and McCoys. But then we moved out to Long Island when I was 5. I was in kindergarten.
So you're in Jericho. Wow.
Yep.
I thought so you did cable.
I worked for cable, and then I left there, and Al Roker and I went to college together, and he told me about a job opening in Syracuse at WTVH. And I went and interviewed and auditioned, and the news director, God rest his soul, Andy Brigham, he was a character. He was like Lou Grant. He'd come into the office in the morning. I'm going to take a sip of water.
Sure. Hi, Mary. That guy?
His hair slicked back, big glasses, would put on a sweater that had, you know, holes in the elbows. And his fashion sense was like non-existent. And he remembered him saying to me one day, "Well, do something with your hair." I'm like, "You're telling me?"
Uh-oh, he'd get in trouble today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But we were, I spent the day at the station, and that's when I realized I'd be spending a lot of time eating peanut butter and cheese crackers. it just ran you a whole day. And at the time, I wasn't sure if I was going to do news. I thought about going into the city and doing voiceover work, selling my voice, because it's got a unique sound. Yeah. I know this. And look, it's not good, bad, or indifferent. You just know things because people tell you. So I'd driven up to Syracuse. I had my interview. It was about 2 or 3 days later, and Andy called. He goes, just like this, "Hey, babe, want to give it a whirl?" And I said yes before I could say no. And the next thing you know is I'm on my way to Syracuse. And I worked there for 2 years and started looking and had an interview here and had an interview in Wilkes-Barre. But took this job and thought I'd stay 2 years. And at that point, I'd already had a job offer. My mom, rest her soul, was sort of like, do we want to go to that market for? And I didn't go. And then she died very young, very suddenly. Uh-huh. So I stayed here to be near friends and family. And,
So she's never seen all of this.
Incredible she
success.
Has from heaven.
But from heaven.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of lives here. I really have. It's been good.
What do you think has kept you in the Capital Region? What do you think separates the Capital Region from the rest of the earth? Because I love it here.
It's convenience. I can get to the city easily. I can ski easily. Yeah. I can get to Boston. But moreover, I've got great friends here, and I've had so many opportunities. I started as the assignment editor.
Right.
Then I anchored the noon and reported. Then we canceled the noon show, so I reported. Then we put the noon show back on, and I did the noon again, and I've anchored the 4 now. I've done the 5, the 5:30, the 6. I've been doing health for so many years, covered a number of national conventions, Republican and Democratic.
I mentioned it in my song.
Right. Yeah. And the Unabomber trial, 9/11 aftermath. Katrina. So I've had opportunities here that I might not have ever had anywhere else.
Now, do you keep your videos? Do you keep?
I have some,
like a library?
Yeah, but a lot of it's on video, so I still haven't converted it. And I don't have kids, so frankly, why? It's not like I'm handing it off to somebody.
True, but you still want to keep it as a history.
I have a lot. I've been throwing out tapes. I've been throwing out a ton of 3/4-inch tapes. I've got nothing to play them on.
I did that too. I know that's a problem.
And I know I was there.
Yeah. You can't convert them here. You got all kinds of equipment.
And who am I going to what? I'm going to sit in the old age home one day and go, "Did you see that? It's not me.
Put them on Facebook. Put them on YouTube.
Oh,
people would love it. People would love it. More questions here. Warren Garling, who is a radio personality from the area, friend of mine. Asked the same question. How do you balance your home life, your TV career, and your singing and your acting, which we really haven't totally.
Right. So I think balance is something that Madison Avenue sells. And if you look at, there's a whole philosophy on being well adjusted. And being well adjusted means at the end of the year, you had one more good day than bad. So I don't know what balance is.
Nobody can totally balance.
No, I think it's if you're feeling fulfilled.
Right.
And you're getting done what you have to get done. And you're not running yourself into the ground. I think you're pretty well balanced. The hubs doesn't seem, I make sure I got time for him.
Right.
And the good Lord didn't bless us with kids, so I'm not doing that. But I'm a pretty good auntie. And so balance, I don't know. I think it's about feeling fulfilled, happy. Are you there for your friends and your loved ones? And
true.
If you can't be, then you've got to look at everything else you're doing and why you're not making the time for your loved ones.
Because this business can monopolize your time if you let it. You must think about it to this day all the time, right?
I get up in the morning and I'm on the phone. I'm doing email.
Wow.
If you want to find me, you're going to find me 7:15 at the latest.
Yeah. That actually was my very first question. Was husband happy?
Yeah.
I put on here because I think about your husband. Well,
Oh, really?
No, I wonder. Does he enjoy being? I'm not saying second fiddle because I know he's had his own.
He's his own, and he's got his. He's a number one. My husband. I brag about him. My husband was 2 years now was inducted into the National Wrestling Hall of Fame.
I don't know anything about him.
He was a wrestling coach and a tremendous educator and supporter.
Wow.
So he got selected and inducted. And the one little sort of the tidbit I say to him, you know, the thing that I think always impresses people, he was a ball player. And he played in college. He played semi-pro. The knee kept him out of the pros.
Hmm.
But he was an umpire, and he umped in the 1984 Olympics.
No kidding.
Yeah. Baseball. They flew you out, and Mark McGuire was on that team. And, yeah.
Did you go out there with him?
No. I didn't know him back then.
Oh, you didn't know him back then?
No. Yeah, I met him after that. But he's his, very much his own man. And I enjoy what he does and his successes, and he does with me. So, and I think, you see, your audience can't see me smiling, but I know I've got that stupid grin on my face.
Yeah, you definitely do. Do you think you could have married somebody who's in this business?
Wouldn't want to.
That would be tough.
Yeah, we just wouldn't want to.
The competition.
Nah, it's just, you need to get away from it, and
right.
I just wouldn't want to.
Yeah, I'm wondering if in other markets there's like a husband and wife team on competing television
stations.
There are. That would be rough.
You know, you've got to be careful of your pillow talk.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, this. I was married before, and to say that he was not the best of people is where I'll leave it there.
Okay.
And I was very fortunate the second time I married. But I had to teach him about the news, and I think I ruined the news for him in about 3 months' time.
Oh, yeah, there's that, too. How about somebody who doesn't care about news, doesn't care about your career? I mean,
yeah, and he does. He's very, very,
which is great.
Yeah.
Oh, you're very, very lucky. Going to other people in your past, my last podcast was with a gentleman, because I've been trying to find people in the area who are well-known, because I'm very selfish and thinking if they have a Facebook following, this is what I want. So
right.
That's that was one motivation, I'm not going to lie. But I've also known this gentleman. He's a really nice guy, Al Bruno.
Oh, sure. I love Al.
Al Bruno.
Yeah,
and
I know him. I know Al when he was still doing hair.
Well, I have Al Bruno right here because on my last podcast, he mentioned you. This is right after you and
him.
I booked this.
Yeah.
And he had something to say, but I want you to listen to the whole thing because the beginning kind of sounds like he's dissing you, but he's really not. So here, this is Al Bruno, the singer, the entertainer. Everybody knows him around here.
There was a young lady who went on to do her thing, and I was doing a television show at Cross Gates Mall or someplace live with a 21-piece orchestra.
Wow.
And so the interviewer, who you know as Benita Zahn.
Yes, absolutely know her.
And now I was her hairdresser also.
Is that right?
When she came to this area. Yeah, I mean, as far as like taking the job, all that. And we were friends for a long time, but she interviewed me and she said in the interview, and she never knew how that struck me. Because I always tried to do an interview with her years ago, you know, just about a lifestyle.
Right.
And, you know, as far as I wanted her and I to get together, we never did, but someday we will. But anyway, she said to me during the interview, she said, I got to ask you a question. I said, what's the question? She said, does it bother you that you're riding on somebody else's hotel?
Right.
And I went, what? And she said, well, because everybody associates you with Neil Diamond. And I went, no, I was lucky enough that was the vocals and that was the style. So I've been very fortunate or I wouldn't be here with the orchestra. I really didn't know what to say, Richie.
Yeah.
I really didn't.
Kind of throws
point. Yeah, it kind of made me think for a second.
Right.
She doesn't know that actually was a changing point where I stood there and went, okay, I also I have to do other things and what have you that I want. Then I began to do a lot of other things that people began to notice me even more so. That was that statement, and it still lives in my mind.
Right.
Okay. So,
that you had to expand a little bit. Right.
Oh my God.
So that hard-hitting question, kind of sort of.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if I would have asked it the same way now. That would have, that interview, I believe, happened during the telethon for the Northeastern Association of the Blind, NABBA.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what, you know, probably could have asked it nicer. And I don't know how many hours we were into that telethon. I remember at one point we were getting a check from, oh, goodness, I'm going to get myself in trouble here, from Kentucky Fried Chicken. And they had been cooking up forever. And this is, I said, golly, you must have been up to your elbows in grease for hours. And he looked at me and I went, and it wasn't until afterwards, I think I'd been up 24 hours at that point. But they gave us the check anyway. You know, listen, you're not going to hit a home run every time.
Right. That's right.
It wasn't meant mean. So, Al, I'm sorry that it hit you the wrong way because I would never do anything to hurt him. He's such a kind man. But on the other hand, I'm glad it all worked out.
Yeah. No, it was a moment of honesty on your part, and it worked out. I mean, that's why I wanted you to hear the whole thing. I was going to cut it halfway and make you feel bad, but I decided.
Thanks, Ricky. Thanks.
Now, we've had other questions come up on Facebook. There was a guy named Sean McMillan. Oh, I can't read the last name.
I believe McMaster.
That's what it is, yes.
You're so disingenuous. Yeah. How long did you two work together?
We worked together. I was on GNA for 30 years.
Oh.
I had two other marriages before him.
See, we all call that stuff marriage.
There were marriages.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're thrown in a room with somebody.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jerry and I, you know, sing together, Jerry Gretzinger.
That's right.
So we have the number that Jay Kerr, who is our chief cook and bottle washer, arranger, and piano player, and he wrote a song, you know, sort of introducing who we are and what we do.
Oh, good.
And we each go home to different houses. Jerry sings, to different spouses. And Jerry says to me, you have different spouses? I go, well, yeah, you're my TV husband at 4, and Jim's my TV husband at 6. And then I go home to the real husband.
That's great.
And he says, and what channel's that? I go, 42. He goes, ah, the cooking channel.
Oh, good. I got to see your show.
Yes.
That's great. Well, my former husband, Sean, said, you've been doing TV for so long. How has the Capital Region changed through the years, and how has news coverage changed? Great question, Sean.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
So how has the Capital Region changed? We have become a little less parochial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, early on, and to the even now, to some degree, there were fiefdoms. You know, it's Albany, it's Schenectady, it's Troy, it's Saratoga. We're getting better about integrating as a community. Mm-hmm. And you have to if you want to get stuff done.
Right.
So I think we've gotten better there. Crime has gotten worse.
Yeah.
There was a time where if there was a murder in Albany, we'd have three stories on it.
Absolutely.
In one show.
Right.
And now sometimes it's a footnote. And that's a problem. And that's usually, in most cases, it's been tried to the drug trade.
Mm-hmm.
And the Capital Region is a crossroads.
But there's a lot of people that will say, I don't think crime has increased in America. It's just that we have Facebook, we have Twitter, and
we have more stuff going on.
We definitely have
we
more
do,
stuff.
And yes, they're both correct in that there is more awareness, but there is more crime.
Yeah.
And again, I will tie it, and I'm not making it up. It's the drug trade, and we didn't have the use of drugs to this degree 20 some odd years ago, 30 years ago. So.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's changed. And of course, we have so much more news.
Exactly.
Back when I started, CNN was fledgling. And it's changed in that regard.
Just the instantaneousness, if that's a word, news.
Yes.
Like we were out in Las Vegas, we were there for vacation when Kobe Bryant was killed. My phone went bing. On TV, there was a crawl bing.
Yep.
My watch went bing.
Yeah. It's crazy.
How do you compete with it? Must be a real challenge
It just is.
Yeah.
It just is. You learn to deal with it.
I mean, when you get up in the morning and see a big story, in my head, if I was doing what you're doing, I want to run right in there and and try to beat Twitter, which you can't do.
Well, you can't, so you tweet.
You have to tweet it yourself.
Yeah, you tweet, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to join them or they'll beat you, right? Okay, these are a couple of things that our crack research team from here at Top Talent discovered, which is me and a cup of coffee.
Right.
Were you in a movie called Andromeda, directed by Alec Gilderland?
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't even know. I had a little role. I did my role. I don't remember.
Was it? It wasn't recent then?
3-4 years. It's an indie. It was really nice. I read my, you know... He was wonderful to work with, and I did it.
Alec, was he from Gilderland?
He's local.
Oh. Yeah. I thought it might be a stage name, Alec Gilderland.
If it is, I don't know. He's very nice.
How about you were in this classic film that was up for the Academy Award last night, Bumpin' Ugly?
Yes. I had a... Bumpin' Ugly is really interesting. Bumpin' Ugly is a work of art by Kevin Craig West, who many folks in the Capital Region will know, and I had the good fortune to share a little piece of stage. Actually, I watched him more than we had scenes together for Shakespeare in Love.
Oh.
He's a wonderful, wonderful performer, does a lot of theater, has performed all around. He was at, not Barrington Stage. He was in
In
Pittsfield. In Bennington. I saw him in a show there recently. Okay. But Kevin is a wonderful performer and also a movie maker. And Bumpin' Uglies is one of his.
Now, see, I said something that was very negative there. When I mentioned Bumpin' Ugly, it's up for an Academy Award, like trying to be a wise guy. I feel bad.
You should. Kevin is a wonderful guy. I'm giving Kevin a big shout out.
How about the singing group, the Anchors?
Singing Anchors. Some people still refer to us as such. It started as Jerry Gretzinger, Jess Layton, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And now Jess, of course, she's in New York City. And I know Jess wanted to sing with us again this winter. And it's just... not feasible. We couldn't work out rehearsal time because Jerry and I usually rehearse during the week. So yeah, Jerry and I are out, and our show is called Side by Side. And we just had a gig. I don't know when this will air, but we had a gig on February 9th. We were the performance, the entertainment for the Octavo Singers had their gala, and they booked us, and we did a small show. And March 20th, we've got a gig at the Glenn Sanders Mansion.
Nice.
Dinner and a show.
That's fun.
And then we're singing in May up in Hoosick Falls. Yeah, we're available. Weddings, bar mitzvahs, christenings, you know.
Me too. I'll open for you.
There you go.
Now, that's a frustration with podcasting in that there's the problem with copyrighted music. Because I was thinking, now that I have you on, I'd have you sing something. But you can't do anything copyrighted. You can sing like
Well, the
maybe
little
Yankee
bit I
Doodle.
Did for you was not copyrighted.
Okay, good.
It's original.
Good, because I don't want to get sued.
Yeah.
Your health reporter accolades.
Mm-hmm.
I know you mentioned that your doctorate. What do you think is the most, coronavirus is the biggest thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Are you worried about that?
Nope. People should be more worried about the flu. I mean, at this point, the flu is deadlier than coronavirus. And wash your hands, stay home if you're sick. Hello?
You still think that's like
I think
the
that's
tried
your
and true
best,
method?
Yeah. That's really the only, and get a flu shot. And I'm not even going to have the argument with people. Not even going there.
I just got one. It's the first time in my life I've ever gotten
really?
One. Really? It was the first time ever.
Have you had the pneumonia vaccine?
And I have not. You should definitely get that. Uh-oh, he's looking at me.
Naturally, I'm looking away. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
Talk to your doctor.
You don't talk about pneumonia as much as the flu. I mean, you know.
No, we don't. The pneumonia is what kills. It's what happens after you've had the flu. You have the flu, and it sets up a situation to allow the bacteria into your lungs, and that's what kills you. It's pneumonia that kills, precipitated by a bout of flu.
Do you think they're going to come up with the corona
yes.
vaccine very quickly?
I don't know how quickly, but they will. You know, a cold is a coronavirus.
Really? It's from the same...
class of viruses.
Is it really?
Yes. SARS was a coronavirus. MERS a coronavirus. The same family. They just change. That's what viruses do. That's how they survive.
They mutate.
Yep. And that's what happens with flu. Some people say, well, I got the shot, but I still got the... Yeah, well, you know what? There may have been a slight drift in the virus after the vaccine was created. But generally, if you take the shot, you don't get as severe an illness, which then subsequently would lessen your risk of developing the pneumonia.
Because I asked my doctor, I said, should I, you know, because I'm taking other medication. I was concerned about that too. You know, should I take the flu? He said, no, it's a dead virus.
It's dead. You can't get sick from it.
Right. I said, well, do you think it's effective? He went, I would do it. It can't hurt.
Right.
That was his attitude. It was kind of like, well, it's not that effective. I kind of got the idea it's not that effective. But
it depends.
Yeah.
Some years it's very effective, and some years it's 40. I think last year was like 46% effective. But it still will lessen the severity.
Mm.
And, you know, they guess almost, you know, a good 6 months or so out based on what's circulating in the Southern Hemisphere, the type of virus, is it an H1N1? Is it an A? Is it an B? And that's how they make the vaccine.
Mm.
By the time it comes around, it may have shifted. It may not be H1N1. It may be H1N2.
Right.
So it's still, we're making flu vaccine the way we've done forever. And they're working on doing a better job.
So you're relaxed about it. I don't feel so bad now. You're calming me.
Much more stuff to be worried about.
Did you see the technology with that? I know this is an aside, but in China, they have thermal cameras that they can shoot down from above, and they can detect, if you have a high temperature, they can detect one person's high temperature from above.
How do you feel about that, Richie? I don't even have Alexa in my house. I don't want it.
We have it. Yeah,
yeah, no.
No? Nope. You're an anti-tech?
No.
Not anti-tech.
I just don't want anybody listening in to me.
You believe that? Yeah.
Oh, I have no question.
Yeah.
And neither should you.
Well, Alexa.
They do.
It has to be on for you to say, hey, Alexa.
Right. It's always on. I mean, look, there's plenty of research on this, documented. They were always listening in an effort to make it more responsive.
Right.
So somebody's listening.
Yeah, but what's it going to hear in my house? Richie, take the dog out again. I mean, you know. That's not really...
That's how it starts, Richie. That's how it starts.
Then they know my dog's name.
There
and
you go.
There it goes.
Yep.
There it goes. I'm still looking for other questions here. What is the most... Oh, Bridget O'Reilly, this is a good one. What is the most groundbreaking story you've ever covered as a health reporter, would you say?
You know, I saw that. I don't know.
You don't think coronavirus? I would think you...
What's groundbreaking? I wasn't the first one to report on it. I mean, I covered...
SARS.
But that's not groundbreaking.
Right.
You know, my perspective of what she's asking is, was there something I did as a report that changed lives?
Oh, okay, right.
You know, and sometimes it's simple stuff. Reporting on there was a landlord, I was still working in Syracuse, who was turning the water off in this high rise, and a mom had reached out to me. She had to take her baby, like six-month-old infant, down to the basement in this apartment building to bathe the baby in a utility sink because they weren't pumping the water. And I ran the story. And the story aired about 6:10, and by 6:35, the water was on.
Wow.
I think that was pretty darn good.
I like it.
That's when I understood the power of what we could do in a positive sense.
If you were offered a job on 60 Minutes, for example, to be like hard-hitting, you know, like a Mike Wallace or, you know, that type of journalism. Would you like that? Or do you like more middle-of-the-road
journalism? I do. I've done ambush interviews.
Because, do you like that, though?
It's not a matter of liking. When you need an answer and somebody who has the wherewithal to answer and is hiding, that's not appropriate. It's just not. And years ago, there was a woman who... Her insurance would pay for her to have a bone marrow transplant. And that's debilitating, as you well know.
Sure.
But there was a new way of looking at things, less debilitating and using her red blood cells, kind of washed and then given back.
Right.
And her insurance wouldn't pay for that.
Of course.
And the price was a pittance in compared to. So I got an interview with the insurer under false pretenses. I was going to talk about something else, and two questions in, I asked. And he just sort of gagged and looked at me. And I pressed. I believe they paid for her procedure.
See, that was groundbreaking
in
its own way.
Yeah, you know. And there were times, sometimes you're told you can't ask a certain question, but that's really the question that needs to be asked. During the years of HIV, I once had the... A Surgeon General shut me down. I like that. I got the answer I needed. Pardon me. Went in for a follow-up, and he said, no. I went, okay, thanks very much. I got the answer
see,
I needed.
See, when it comes from a personal place like that, I could see it'd be easier to do hard-hitting journalism, you know, when you're trying to do something from your own perspective. Like, if I opened up and saying, were you neglected as a child? Something like that could never come out of my mouth,
Yeah, but it's not about me. That's the whole point. There's a community out there that's relying on me to ask the questions they would ask if they had the opportunity. And that's how I've comported myself all these years.
You have to step out of yourself sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not about me.
Right.
It's what do you want to know? And I try to listen. And I do listen to the audience. And that's what I try to ask the questions. If you could, what would you want to know?
Right. Yeah, very interesting. If you were never in the newscasting biz, would you have been happy
who knows?
An actor.
Who knows?
That's I don't say actress anymore. I say
yeah,
actor.
There's no way to answer that question. Absolutely not.
You don't have another occupation that, you know, like a bucket list thing? Something completely out of the realm of...
Oh, I always wanted to be an astronaut. I even applied for a journalist in space, and they shut that down after the explosion with Christy McAuliffe, the educator in space. But I was never going to get selected. I didn't. When I looked at the list, you know, there were journalists who, you know, climbed, you know, Mount Everest with children with developmental disabilities and did a story. I'm like, okay, I'm out.
But you do kind of adventurous things. You ski, you're a runner. What did I see? Oh, did you do like a treadmill challenge?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That's fun. Very, yeah. I've done a couple marathons, a couple half marathons. I did Ragnar, which was great. Ragnar is it's a company that sponsors these endurance races. And endurance, and it's a distance where you run from, we did Adirondack, you run from Saratoga to Lake Placid. I put together a team. You could run anywhere from 3 runners to 12. We did 12. And everybody had 3 legs that they ran. It was wonderful. It was really great. Yeah, this was just a wonderful experience. Jim Cambrick ran with us, Karen Terracci, Sabrina Dami, one of our photographers, Kevin Montano, and Karen's husband, Jason Goff drove one of the vans. We nice. Just had a great time.
I think I'm out of listener questions here. Looking here. Oh, one of my own final questions. Any bloopers that you can remember? Is there something?
Oh, my word. Yeah, there's
the
real big one.
What's the funniest blooper that
you did? So, umpteen years ago, yeah. I was doing the cut-ins in the morning, and it was very windy. And I said to the weather guy something to the effect of, well, Joe, you'll hang on to your hat. And that took me off my concentration in this moment. I thought, well, now the story was about a Marine who was home on vacation and took a sucker punch at a fast food store, and it killed him. And I had to go right into that. So I had just said something sort of like light,
right.
And now I'm going to go into this. So I'm not thinking. And what I wanted to say, the copy said, brutally beaten. And it came out beatily brutin. And then you have that moment where you're going to try to fix it.
Right.
Well, there's like 8 seconds of my face never moving, you know, changing expressions. Beatily brutin, beatily, 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 beatily brutin. And of course, Chris Berner, who used to work here, would put together a Christmas reel of bloopers,
right.
Edited that together to run like 30 seconds. When I tell you, I mean, we were laughing so hard, tears and, you know, your nose was running.
Right.
So, yeah, that was my big... And I once snotted myself on air. Yeah, I sneezed productively. Usually all bodily functions stop, and all you can do is kind of wave your hand and go, we're going to a commercial. Took a moment, the director finally went with me, and he opened the microphone. He was cackling. He was gone. So those are my two biggies. Yeah.
There's a little delay, right?
No.
No, there's no delay. You can't. There's no way you can cut
cable
anything out.
Cable may delay, but no, we're right out there. Yeah.
Oh, because radio, we had like a 7-second delay. Yeah. We had a button. Yeah.
No button.
My biggest blooper was like the first couple months I was on the air, and it wasn't even on GNA. It was on WTRY, and there's a guy named Bob Kovacic.
Oh, yeah.
He was our weather guy, and I'll never forget this. I don't think I might have even been on for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on with Uncle Fred Horton. I don't know if you remember him.
No,
he was
before
my first
time.
Partner. Yeah. So we're on the air, and he's kind of training me what to do, and we're talking back and forth. And said, let's go to the weather now with Bob Kovacic. Bob comes on, and it's going to be, you know, sunny and high from blah, 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 here at WTRY. Oh, thank you, Bob. And then I wanted to throw in a quip because I was, like, pressured, like, I got to be funny. And I said, Bob, I have a question. And Fred, my partner, is going, like, shaking his head, no, like, no question. And I said, no, Bob, I just have one question. He's going, no. We go to the commercial. He said, Bob is on tape.
I had a feeling you were going there. That's great.
I really appreciate you taking the time. Oh, your podcast. See, this is how it started.
Yes.
I looked on Facebook, saw that you had a podcast. Mm-hmm. That's when I wrote to you. I'll be on your podcast.
Right.
You'll be on my podcast.
Right. Well, it's called Everything Theater. We're on every platform, wherever you get your podcast.
Right.
And my partner in crime is Ellen Cribbs. And we met while we were doing Shakespeare in Love.
Oh.
And at Cap Rep, and I don't know what it'll be like in the new building, but the makeup room for the women, and it's just a long table. So you sit in order, a pecking order of, I think, how many lines you have. You
right,
know?
Right.
And Ellen and I were sitting next to each other. She was the nurse. She was fabulous. In fact, she won a Broadway World Regional Award for her performance. I'm going to get it wrong, in like Miss Pemberley's Christmas, or I know it's all, I'm calling the title wrong, but she was recognized for her great work. Ellen and I got talking about doing podcasts. I wanted to do one, she wanted to do one. So, okay, we'll marry the fortunes together. And we started doing it. So it's called Everything Theater. And Justin Friello, who was also in Shakespeare in Love and a fabulously talented musician, wrote our theme song, Ellen and I perform. It's at the top of the show. And we generally drop every other Tuesday. But we've been very busy lately, and we've been dropping every Tuesday. We're trying to back off because it's a lot of work. And
it is a lot of work.
We had a great time. So we recently had, actually, Tony Pallone and John Romeo, along with Ellen, on. It's the one that'll be, I think, if it's going to hit Tuesday. Isn't that terrible? I should know these things. About Theater Voices, a long-standing theater company in town. It's free, and you use your script because it's staged readings. Okay. And I did this many years ago and met so many phenomenally talented people. Mm. So Ellen's doing that. That's our most recent. Right before that, we did a podcast with Lights, Camera, Action Jackson, Jackson Murphy, who's been doing movie reviews forever. We did his as a run-up to the Oscars, looking at shows that had became movies or vice versa. Had him on. We'll be interviewing in the weeks ahead Kevin Kevin McGuire, who is also a Shakespeare in Love. He's a phenomenally talented local performer who's performs all over the country and world. We're looking to have Mary Callahan, who is, she was Mama Rose. Callahan, who is Mama Rose, I think I said it wrong, and Gypsy. We'll probably have Kevin Craig West. And we've had David Gerard from the Troy Foundry Theater. So take a listen, gang.
I want to. See, it's you're talking about talent, and now you're competing with mine because it's Top Talent.
Different talent.
And guess when mine airs? Top Talent Tuesday.
Yeah, but you know what? You can. The thing about podcasts, you can listen anytime.
I know, I'm just kidding.
But this is great. I haven't seen you to sit down and have a talk in forever.
It's been for a real long time.
Yeah.
I actually made up a logo because I wanted to, you know, make this look professional.
Oh, how cute.
I want, you know, because I thought you were going to have your News Channel 13, like, you know, logo sitting here. So
no.
I didn't want to feel alone.
No. But that's really
sweet. It's been so great catching up with you again, and thank
back
you so much.
At you, and
much.
All the best to everybody. And, you know, if you've got stories that you want to see, and I do Health Beat.
Yes.
It's a digital program we tape on Wednesday mornings. It's at WNYT.com. I call it your health info on the go. It's 5-minute about segments, and every Monday and Thursday. So take a look, take a listen, and if there's something you want us to cover, please let me know. I want to be responsive to you.
Please watch News Channel 13, and by the way.
Yes, dear.
Has nothing to do with anything we're talking about, but that's the way this brain works.
Yeah.
My grandson.
Oh, my God, how cute. Now that's delight.
That's the top talent in the future.
Yes, it is.
Thanks
everybody.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. I had such a good time with that interview with Benita Zahn. What a pro. She's done so much for this area, all her community work, all her charity work, besides feeding us the news nightly for the past 30 years or more. And her health reports mean so much to everybody in the area. She's a performer, as you know. She sings all over the place. Go see her and check out her brand new podcast, which is called Everything Theater. Comes out the same day as my podcast, but hey, I'm not going to complain about that. There's enough out there for everybody. There's only 850,000 podcasts, by the way. So, you know, not that many to choose from. But I'm sure she will thank you for choosing hers, and I really, really thank you for choosing mine. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. I want to build this as much as possible so we can showcase talent. Oh, and that reminds me, I did not include a famous quote about talent. I always do that, so hit the jingle.
The top talent quote.
It was author Austin Kleon who wrote the book Steal Like an Artist, 10 Things Nobody Told You About Being Creative. And here's his quote. He said, "If you ever find that you're the most talented person in the room, then I guess you need to find another room."
Take it.